doing a series on Christmas colors. And what we mean by that is we're just taking colors that are associated with Christmas and seeing if there is some Bible connection with the color. And I think the Bible does that. I think the Bible connects colors with things that are in our memory. When you think of Christmas time, you think of certain colors. The two big ones are red and green. Those are the big ones. If you drive by a place and it's decorated, there's no doubt that there's going to be some red, green, or both. Last week we talked about green and how it is connected to life and healthy things and how God is in charge of that. And yes, we need to do things to have good habits, but in the end, God is in charge of our growth and our life, and he'll give us green pastures in our life if we do what we need to do. Tonight we're going to talk about red, and red is one, it's a main color of Christmas, but it's also one of the main colors of life. It's a primary color. It's a main color in our lives. I did a little bit of research. One of the first colors that shows up in early paintings is the color red. It's also one of the first colors that babies can start to recognize and see. And babies can learn more because they can see the color red earlier than most colors. If red is your favorite color, then chances are you have a very driven, determined personality. And it just goes with people like that. There are at least 40 shades of the color red. It's a primary color. If you mix it with blue, you get purple. If you mix it with yellow, you get orange. Yeah, you know your colors. Way to go. There are lots of ways we could connect red with the Christmas story. There are lots of red things about Christmas. You got Santa's suit. You got the bowl that usually is on trees or wreaths. You got Rudolph's nose, you know. So there are lots of red things about Christmas. But in the Bible, the color red is often used to point to what Jesus did for us. We're going to see that red is going to show us that Jesus is our only hope. And I believe that. I believe that Jesus is our only hope. He is the only hope we have. And the color red in the Bible points us to the fact that Jesus is our only hope. Okay, the Christmas story starts in Matthew 1. And in Matthew 1, you have what's called a genealogy. And all that is a list of people that bring us up to the life of Jesus, his Jesus' ancestors. His ancestry is in Matthew 1. And the Bible does that to show us that Jesus is the true King of Kings. If you want to prove that you are a king, you have to show your ancestry or your lineage. And so that's what Matthew does. He takes the first chapter of Matthew and shows all the people who are in the line of Christ and that he is the legitimate King of Kings. Now, in that list are some famous names, some famous people. You would recognize many of them. It's a who's who of the Old Testament. But in this story are four women who are named. And one of them is a woman named Rahab. Rahab. And Rahab is part of a story that's going to show us how the color red is connected to the Christmas story. It's going to show us how Jesus is our only hope and what the true meaning of Christmas is. That's when I read about red, that's what it does for me. It shows me that Jesus is not just one of many hopes, but how Jesus is our only hope. Now, here are a few things you need to know about Rahab. Okay, maybe you haven't read about her or heard about her. First of all, she is mentioned in the people that bring us up to Jesus. She's mentioned in Matthew 1. Two, she lived way back in the Old Testament in the book of Joshua. Another thing is that she did not make, I'm going to say this kind of politically correctly or whatever, she did not make very good career choices, okay? Did not make very good career choices. She did not have a good reputation. All right, let's read about her in Matthew 1, verse 5. It says, and Salmon begat Booz of Rahab, and Booz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. Now, the spellings are a little bit different, but that's Rahab. That is her. There she is. It's a little, that actually is the same spelling. And she is listed, this woman with a questionable reputation is right smack in the New Testament. Now, can we just let that sink in just for a second? Let that sink in. Five verses into the New Testament, she is named in the official record of Jesus' ancestors. Let's say you were want to be president. You were a politician and want to be president. And she was in your family tree. You would do anything to hide that, right? You wouldn't tell anybody that. You may not tell members of your family that. But you know what God did? God put her smack in the middle of Matthew 1. That's amazing. I love that. God put it in the first few verses of the New Testament. I am sure that Rahab was ashamed of some of her decisions, but God was never ashamed of Rahab. Amen? He was never ashamed of her. He loved her. He gave her a chance. He put her right out in front of that Christmas story. It's not that she's mentioned here in Matthew 1. She is all over the Bible. She's a legend. She is in the famous Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11. She's in James as an example of faith and justification. And she's in the story of Joshua where she started. So she's in at least four different places. That story in Joshua paints one of the most beautiful pictures in all of Scripture. So when I think about Rahab, I know she had a tough life. I know she did. I know she had a hard life, and she undoubtedly made decisions that she would be ashamed of. But you know, God took her story, as tough as it was, as questionable as it was, and He made that story beautiful. I want to tell you, before we talk about Rahab, I want to say something to you tonight. You may have a tough story. You may have a tough past. You may be in a tough situation and made bad decisions. Whoever you are or wherever you are, God can take your story and make something beautiful out of it. May not feel beautiful now. It may be hard now. But God can do that. He can take your story, whatever it is, and make it beautiful. I think that is wonderful. Now, at the time, Rahab may not have been able to see the meaning. She may have suffered. She may have lived in pain. And maybe she wondered what it would be like to have a different life. To her, living her life may not have felt very good. But to us, reading her story thousands of years later, we can see God at work in her life. We can see the picture. We can see what God is doing. Okay, the story starts in Joshua 2. Two spies of God's people are sent to the land of Jericho, where Rahab lived. And I don't know how they reached this decision, but they needed a place to stay, and they ended up at the home of Rahab the harlot. They got into a little trouble when the king of Jericho found out they were there. Let's pick it up in Joshua 2, verse 3. The king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "You bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. She is hiding them. She's telling the king a fib so she can protect the two men out of the spies, God's people. So she becomes part of a conspiracy to hide and protect these two spies. And the way that she helps deliver them paints this picture that once you see it, you won't be able to get it out of your mind. Let's pick it up in 2:15. And she, so they're up in her house or wherever she was, and she couldn't bring them through the front door. And so to let them escape, she let them down by a cord through the window. That's how they escaped, a cord, a rope. The Bible is going to call it a thread. She lets them down through a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall. She dwelt upon the wall. Now we get a little more information about this cord, this rope, when the spies have one last conversation with her. 18. Behold, when we come back into the land, thou shalt bind this line, this very rope, this cord that we escaped from. You're going to use it again, Rahab. You're going to bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. All right, let's wrap this up here. We'll just take a few minutes and wrap up this story. She lived in this land, Jericho, that was a mess. It was against God's ways. It was just a mess. It's really close to the book of Judges. And you know, in the book of Judges, it says that everyone's just doing what they think's right. They're not really paying attention to what God says it's right. Everyone's just doing what they think's right. And it's just a mess. Her life was a mess. So she was a mess in a land, and the whole land was a mess, okay? Can anybody relate to that? So I can sometimes. Two spies from the Lord, God's people, come to her, and they need help, and she helps them. And they say, hey, thank you for helping us. Now, we're going to give you some advice. When we come back, it's going to be with an army, and we're going to take over this town. And everyone is going to be trouble. Everyone is going to be judged. But if you want your family to be delivered, to be saved, to not be judged like everyone else, here's what you do. You take this scarlet thread, this red rope, and you put it down from your window. And anyone that wants deliverance can climb up and grab this rope and climb up to safety, and they won't face the judgment as everyone else in the land. That's our advice to you. Now, that is a beautiful picture, because that's what they needed to do. It didn't matter who was messed up with what. It didn't matter what decisions they made. It didn't matter how old or rich or smart or beautiful, how strong. The only thing that mattered is if they would go up to that red rope and grab it, they could climb up to safety. That's what they needed to do. Those were clear instructions for Rahab to pass along to her family. Now, those people could have tried lots of things. They could have fought in the army and tried to beat the people. They could have tried to get saved that way. They could have taken off for the mountains. They could have just stayed home and kind of watched TV and hoped for the best. They could have done that. But they said if they really want to be saved, they have to go up to that window, take hold of that red scarlet thread, climb up to safety. Okay, so the wall gets knocked down in Jericho. The army of Israel gets ready to burn the city. Look what happens to Rahab and her family. We'll jump over to Joshua 6. And the young men that were spies went in. This is after the battle, and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all she had, and they brought out all their kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. They were all saved because they did what they said. They had gone up to that rope and climbed up and were in safety because of grabbing that scarlet thread, and they had a good outcome. She was delivered. Her family was delivered. They were all saved because they grabbed the scarlet thread. Now, I can see myself in this story. Sometimes I kind of feel like Rahab or her family. I feel like I'm in a tough place. My life's a mess. The world has just got so many problems, right? Got so many things. You have so many things in life that are disappointing. And like Rahab, maybe we have it pretty rough. Maybe we can't compare our problems or life or decisions exactly to Rahab's, but I know lots of us have really tough situations. Maybe you are not happy with where your life is. Maybe you wish you hadn't made some of the decisions you have made. And maybe in quiet moments you wonder if there really is hope for you. This story shows me that there is hope. There is. Because we have a scarlet thread that runs all the way through the Bible. You could say that the Bible is woven together. It's tied up with this scarlet thread that begins all the way back in the book of Genesis. You think of that first sin that we ever did. We ate the fruit. What did God have? Now, I know Adam and Eve tried to sow fig leaves, but God didn't do that. It says he made them clothes of animal skin. So there it is, innocent blood. You take Cain and Abel offering two kinds of sacrifice in Genesis 4. Cain tried the fruit of the ground, but Abel, his sacrifice was accepted, innocent blood. In Exodus 12, in the Passover, they had to put the blood of an innocent lamb up on the door to be saved that night. All through the Old Testament, there's this scarlet thread of innocent blood that runs through, and it ends with the Christmas story, with Jesus shedding his perfect, precious, innocent blood for us. There's our scarlet thread. That is our only hope to be saved and have a relationship with God. We could try other ways. We could try to do this or that, but there's only one scarlet thread that we can climb up to safety, and it's that precious, perfect blood. We see it start in the Old Testament, but it finally ends on Calvary, where Jesus shed his precious, perfect blood. That's our scarlet thread. It's the only way we can be saved, only way to safety. It does, like them, doesn't matter how rich or smart or beautiful or old or strong any of us are, we have to grab that scarlet thread. That's all that matters. So I want to tell you tonight, don't risk your eternity on anything else, right? Don't risk it on anything else. Don't trust anyone else. Don't trust anything you've done, anything. Only trust Jesus and that scarlet thread that he shows us. Trust his blood. Bank everything on him because he loves you and he died for you and he is the only way to heaven. So when I see red in the Bible, I think of how much Jesus loves me and how he is my only hope for everything, but especially my only hope to have a relationship with God and to go to heaven after this life. Father, we love you. Thank you for the clear pictures in the Bible. Thank you, Lord, for different colors that show us different things. And Lord, thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that he came to earth as a baby. But Lord, thank you that he lived a perfect life and willingly laid down his life and shed his perfect blood for us. We love you And we are appreciative and can never thank you enough for that special gift. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, next week we're going to do the color gold. So be kind of thinking where I'm going. I don't even know where I'm going yet. So the color gold, okay? See you next week at the Esquire.